When you rise as we read from the Word of God. You read from Luke chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod Tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip Tetrarch of Iturea and Trachonitis, whatever. Jumping down to verse 2, during the high priesthood of Ananias and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the country around Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hills made low. The crooked roads shall become straight, the rough waves smooth, and all people will see God's salvation. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Holy Father, open our hearts, our minds, our eyes, and our ears, that as you speak to us today, we will receive your words and put them into action in our lives. And may the words of my mouth be a blessing unto you. Amen. You may be seated. So, before we really get started, I want to remind everybody about the candlelight services on Christmas Eve. One will be at 6 o'clock, one will be at 11 o'clock. So, make your plans to partake or in one or both of those. One, if you want to come to church and worship God. Both, if you want to come hear the preacher a second time. Not as many people laughed as I thought would. So let's be honest with ourselves. How many of you are excited about Christmas? Raise your hand. Okay. How many of you are excited about what has to happen before Christmas? Raise your hand. Y'all are the ones that don't prepare very much, huh? Huh? Birthdays before Christmas? Oh, poor thing. So, give you a little insight. This is going to be the first year in as long as I can remember. Angie is not really going to have a whole lot to do around Christmas time. Because of where we live, we're actually going there to have Christmas with the kids, which means everybody else gets to see what Mama went through all those years of preparing for the family to be there. And that's one of the things that sometimes if we really look at the Christmas season, the one thing that we really don't look forward to is when we have family coming to us. Because we have to do so much, right? Guys, this includes you too, because all of a sudden your honey-do list gets that long. Make sure the leaves are right. Make sure this, make sure that. So during this season of Advent, it's a preparation time. And as we know from last week, there's certain things that have to be done. We need to be aware, we need to be alert, we need to be on guard, but we also need to be prepared. So, the last couple of days I've been thinking about this scripture text and how I was going to lead off with it. And all I could think about was one of my favorite things to do, and that is to eat. So, when we prepare that Christmas meal, whatever it might be, there's a lot of planning and preparation that goes into it, right? I mean, you got to decide where you're going to go, Walmart or Brookshire's. Okay? Right? Because that's going to help with what we prepare. We have to prepare a menu. Are we going to have turkey? Are we going to have ham? Are we going to have tuna fish sandwiches? There's that menu that has to be set up. And then you have to plan on how we're going, you know, what time are we going to start cooking? You know, what needs to go first? If we're going to be baking a pie, how do we do that? Do we go pick one up at the store and turn the oven on 350 and bake for 2.5 hours? Or what? So you don't bake one for 2.5 hours? I feel like an idiot. Now you know what I don't cook. Or do you start from scratch and do the whole thing yourself? You know, making your own pie crust. Doing whatever it is you do to those nasty apples. And then putting that, what's it called, lattice across it? Crisscross stuff? And baking it for how long?
Not 2.5 hours.
Not, okay. And then if you're like Angie has always been, there's always that, how are we going to distribute the gifts? Are we going to do the grandkids first, then the kids? Are we going to go from youngest to oldest? Are we going to go from oldest to youngest? How are we going to do that? So there's a lot of preparation that goes into planning for Christmas. Would you agree? Anybody disagree? Good. Our scripture text talks about John the Baptist and the fact that he was the one who was to prepare for the coming of the Messiah. Now, there could have been a whole lot of different things that were done. I mean, for instance, historically, during that time, a herald would go out before the king and would announce the king's coming. The king is coming to Maybank on such and such date. And the folks at city council and all the city employees would start freaking out and panicking and going out and plugging chug holes and making sure that signal lights worked and made sure that the decorations were up just so that king, when he came into town, would have a smooth ride and entry. And so John the Baptist, from the very beginning of Isaiah, it said that he will be the one that comes and announces the coming of the king. First of all, do you know what John the Baptist looked like? He sure didn't look like a herald from a palace. I mean, if you read in Matthew, the dude wore camel hair, which was a sign of poverty. He ate grasshoppers and honey. The perfect original Duck Dynasty Robertson. Not someone you would expect to be saying, "The king is coming." But yet he was the one that was prophesied about thousands of years early. So you would think that a herald or someone that was going to announce, especially the Messiah, would have all of this down perfectly pat, right? kind of like what you see on TV when they do news conferences. They get behind that little thing and they read their announcement and they look out and say, are there any questions? John's was simple. And I think that's why they called him John the Baptist. Very simple. You know what it was? Get your heart right, Jesus is coming. You better repent. You better get saved because the Messiah is coming. The time is near, I think is the exact way he put it. Plain and simple. So, everybody say, so? What's that got to do with us today? Well, number one, that message is still the same today as it was then. John's message has carried over the centuries to us. We need to get right. We need to make sure our lives are straight. We need to be prepared because the King is coming. Not going to be coming for the first time, but the Messiah would be returning. And we know by what Scripture has told us that when He comes again, He'll be coming to take His children home. So we need to be right in our hearts. We need to be right in our lives. We need to have a straight path. So during this time of preparation for us, it's a self-examination deal. Looking at ourselves and seeing if we are prepared. And if we're not, where we need to fix those places. Have you ever had something going on that was really special and you've done everything that you could do and needed to do, and right before that moment happens, you remember something you didn't do? Any of y'all ever had that, or is that just me? I've had upper echelon from the conference office and from the district office that would call and say, I'm going to be there at the church this weekend. Don't want anything special. I'm just coming to worship. Did y'all see the facial expression I made over here? I can do it again. So, without alarming your congregation, you let them know that, you know, we need to make sure the sanctuary is in special care, and we need to make sure this, and we need to make sure of that. And, oh, Aaron, do not mess up on the order of worship, okay? We just have to, everything has to be just perfect. Everything goes great. Lance shows up and does his final inspection of everything and gives the thumbs up. The moment comes. In walks whoever. And as they're walking towards you, you realize, I forgot to prepare my sermon. There's going to be a day when Jesus comes back. And He's going to expect us to be prepared. And some of us, like my wife, and like Aaron, and like Lance, and like Kelly, are all going to be, everything's just straight up in line. And I'm going to be there waiting, and I'll see Him coming and think, uh-oh, I forgot. You don't want to be like that. That's why we have this time of preparation. That's why we look at ourselves and see where there's something that needs to be tweaked or fixed or completely replaced. That's what we need in our lives. We need this moment in time when we do a self-examination in order to be prepared. What's the other side of this story? It's plain and simple. We are the heralds, or we are the John the Baptists of today. We're the ones that need to be calling out to those that are lost and need that relationship with Christ. And I know what you're thinking. Oh, not me. That's not my job. Or, I can't do that. I'm too shy. Well, that's your job, preacher. Because I can't articulate. Well, now, remember just a little bit earlier when I asked you what John the Baptist looked like? John was the least expected herald to announce the coming of royalty. But yet, God used him to bring people to salvation. That's the perfect example for us. You don't have to be some highfalutin preacher. You don't have to be able to politic well. You don't have to be able to draw attention to yourself. All you need is to open your mouth and let God speak. Or even better yet, you don't even have to speak. All you have to do is show somebody what it means to be saved by God's grace. Because I can stand up here all day long and tell you how to do it, but you're going to come closer to believing what I say when I don't say a thing and I show you. So we have two tasks that we need to do. First of all, we need to make sure that we've done inventory in our lives and we have prepared our own selves for the coming of Christ. Secondly, we need to be the Johns in somebody's life. We need to be those who let them know that, hey, it's time to repent. Let me show you how to do that. Because once we're prepared and we help others to be prepared, when Christ comes back, you're not like Brother Dan standing up there going, uh-oh, I forgot. Because we've had all this time to be prepared. Okay? So this coming week, I pray that you will examine your life and that you will take a look and see what needs to be tweaked and what needs to be fixed. Let's pray. Almighty and gracious Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this time of year where we can take a look at our lives, that we can slow down for just a minute to see where we are in our walk. Lord, some of us are way ahead, and I'm excited for them. But some of us are still lagging behind just a little bit. And I pray that you will help us to get to where we need. Father, I pray that you will open our eyes so that we can see those places in our lives where we're not quite prepared, that we might fix those problems so that we can show others in our own walks what they're missing out on, so that we can all be prepared when the King comes, when that final visit comes to us and Jesus says it's time to go home. Father, I pray that you will watch over and keep us during this season, keep us safe, and keep us in mind of why we celebrate this time of year. And Father, if there's anyone out there that is looking for that relationship, Father, we pray that their eyes are opened, that they might see your glory in their lives. We pray all this in your Son's holy and precious name. Amen.